I'm Jeremy Meeks.
I'm David Helm.
I'm Cade Copeland.
This is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching, brought to you by the Simeon Trust and Nine Marks, giving you some resources to preach better, run a healthier church. Take advantage of the resources. It'll be helpful. Whatever kind of church you find yourself in, you can find out more about these organizations at simeontrust.org and ninemarks.org. We'll leave you some feedback. If you want us to talk about something, because all we want to talk about is what you want us to talk about, then write us with an idea at feedback@preacherstalk.org. We'd love to hear from you. This one, topic today, is one we think about a lot. It's something that's sneaky. Sometimes
tricky.
Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah. I think sometimes, here's why, because I think sometimes we think, oh, man, those conference speakers or preaching in front of a bunch of pastors, that must be so challenging. But I am convinced to the core of my being that preaching on Sunday morning, contextually, is the hardest thing we'll ever do.
That's true.
So the question is...
Why?
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I ain't going to give away early. But here's the deal. We're talking today about preaching to the whole congregation. Keyword on whole, right? Yeah. Everybody who's in front of you. So let's just start with this. Dave, what is the general makeup of your congregation?
Okay. Summertime, 190 to 220 people. The year will double. You've got people that are on public aid sitting next to astrophysicists. You got somebody reading from their German or Spanish text and somebody that doesn't read English well. You've got an age range that's, you know, I think Lisa and I are now the oldest married couple in the church, 40-some years. So I became the old man. But you got people older than me there. So you've got people in the 70s. You got a range that goes down to three-year-olds.
Right.
That are actually listening to the sermon. You know, if you're above third grade, you're part of that whole congregation.
Right.
So a pretty big range, socioeconomically, educationally, and age.
Great. My congregation is the same as yours, so I'm not going to answer the question. But Ed, you?
So in terms of age demographics, the nursery is busting at its seams, and we have a significant number of individuals over 70 years old and everything in between. Probably the demographic that we have the lowest number of people will be like between 18 and 24, college kids. But other than that, it's pretty much evenly
all over the place.
Distributed all over the place. Primarily blue collar congregation, though we have a couple of judges and, you know, a couple of people that have significant amounts, but most people are just working class and a predominantly African American, although we have Costa Rican, Haitian, and Korean, just sort of mixed in there, but not to any significant degree.
Okay. So in other words, your congregations are unique in and of themselves in some ways, and yet rather typical, right? I don't think that, I think most preachers are facing situations like ours. So what are the kinds of challenges, Ed, that you face as you think about preaching to the whole congregation?
Well, one I ran into maybe a couple of years ago that I had not been sensitive enough to, and that is the mix between married and single. And so some of the sermon illustrations or even some of the things that I was saying, bottom line, to cut across the field, basically using my life as the template.
That's good.
In terms of illustrations or applications, not recognizing that there's not just the age demographics or...
But place or station in life.
The place and station in life piece is what I was not paying attention to.
Because I did that too for a long time. Like, so you know how it is with your kids.
Exactly.
And half the people out there are like, no.
Yeah.
And you don't even know that I'm sitting here or what?
Right. Yeah. Dave, what else? What are the kind of struggles does the preacher face when it comes to the whole congregation?
Probably different things at different times, but you're trying to make sure that your words can be understood by that whole congregation.
Oh, yeah.
So think of, what is it, Nehemiah 8? Who's there? Who's under the hearing of the word?
Right.
The men, the women, and the children who were able to understand. And then the guys get up to give a sense so that they could understand. And then it ends by saying they all went home happy because they understood.
Right.
So how is it that you can be understood?
Yeah.
And you have to give the sense that the four-year-old, the third grader, the university student, the retired person is all coming with you. That the challenge is to try to make sure that you're clear enough and simple enough that the educated among you is still intrigued.
Right. Yeah.
But you're not sitting there just preaching to them.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I think that one of the biggest challenges for me is the kind of the fluctuating nature of the congregation.
Yeah.
Same people.
Yeah.
Right. And yet on any given Sunday, the person who's ordinarily happy is sad. The person who is really kind of struggling is now like having a great day. The person who was 6 months ago having a hard time just had something great happen to him this week. And so you're like, okay, I kind of know these people, but come this week, I don't exactly know what's going on with each and every individual person.
That's good.
So I mean, we keep listening to things all day, right? I think the first thing that the preacher needs to do is face the fact that come Sunday, they have a challenging task before them. Because if you don't admit that, then you're just bound to fail. So like, let's just be honest for a minute. What kinds of people in the congregation tend to live in your blind spot? Dave, we'll start with you. We already talked about like the kind of single people with mm-hmm. you. What other kinds of people like tend to live in your blind spot?
Well, you know, I only got one eye, so if you sit on my right, you're in the blind spot.
Yeah.
I think I can lose track of kids and focus on, you know, the great preponderance of our congregation are 22 to 33.
Yeah.
They're just in scores. So I can kind of lose track of kids. Now, one thing I've done to help on that is, you know, we have a ministry resident, pastoral resident, who writes curriculum mm-hmm. for kids on the sermon that the third to fifth graders pick up who are listening. And so there's stuff that I don't think the preaching has to do all of it.
Right.
So you can put a little bit on the children's ministry to say, not just how are we going to entertain our kids,
right,
but how are we going to train them to listen to a sermon, be engaged with the message, and are we providing any resources to help them stay with you? So you can make up for blind spots, right? Just
sure.
like on the athletic court, you make up for your weaknesses by hiding them.
Right.
So if I've got a weakness on kids, I'm going to want other people in the congregation to help me make up for it.
Yeah, good. Ed?
So aside from the whole single piece, I think one of my blind spots has been those who are struggling financially. And we've addressed this in the sense that, you know, sometimes I would be making assumptions even when it comes to giving and not recognizing how it was being heard by those who were literally underwater.
Right.
And so now way they got corrected is sort of we have mechanisms, be it through prayer requests and, you know, and ministry action teams making contact with people, but more so on the prayer line, we have a 365 day prayer line every day, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We're online praying. And as we've listened to the prayer requests, I recognize, okay, I thought I was addressing people at a certain level as relates to financial literacy or whatever, but it's much worse than what I thought. So I need to adjust how I'm even talking about money or talking about giving.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to, the people who live in my blind spot are the people who aren't like me. Whatever that given Sunday is.
That's everybody,
right? Well, that's everybody. Well, yeah, okay, all right. That's most people. So since we're all talking about how we're addressing the people in our blind spots, I think one of the ways I've sought to do that is to think about the text very concretely through the lens of people that I know in the congregation that aren't me, that are the most different than me. What are the questions and concerns that people like that would have about this text?
That's great.
Right. And then try to address both their concerns, raise their concerns, and then address their concerns, right? Because if you're just addressing their concerns, you're like, wait, who are you exactly talking to? But I'll actually say, now maybe you're thinking, and it's not something I'm thinking, but I've spent the time thinking about the people that often just live in my blind spot. I just know people who are like older than me, younger than me, aren't emotionally disposed the same way I am this Sunday.
Yeah.
Or who would like, this text strikes me in a particular way generally, but that's not how it's going to strike everybody.
Yeah.
So trying to think purposefully about the text from people who are the most different than I am.
Yeah.
Because it's easy just to preach. And you can talk about preaching to the back of the room as far as using your voice, which we did another episode. But you can also preach to the back of the room in the sense of the comedy club. All the comedians hang out at the back of the room. So you're only preaching for them, right? You're only preaching for like the theology nerds or the whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, you only listen to those people. That could be a real problem because you're just speaking literally metaphorically over everybody's heads. So, all right, let's think about these twin challenges. Let's start with this one. How do you go deep when it comes to the text without losing people, Dave?
That's good. I call it preaching to footnotes. So okay. There are people in my congregation that have a command of the scriptures either academically or kind of culturally. They think in terms of how the scripture interacts with science or life or politics or city planning or the language of the text itself or other professional writings. And if you get lost by just trying to address all those, you're going to be in trouble.
Sure.
Because you're trying to preach to them. But here's what I mean by preaching the footnotes. I need to say something that they are aware that I can handle that kind of conversation.
Yep.
But I'm not going to lose this whole congregation to deal with the peripheral things that might have intrigued you. So to preach without losing people is to demonstrate a breadth of awareness without feeling you've got to dive into all of those little rabbit holes that might attract only 20% of your congregation.
Sure. Right.
Good.
Right.
Ed?
So there's ways that you can say, if I heard you correctly, there's ways that you can show that you know without showcasing.
That's right.
That you know. And I think another way is to make sure you're so clear in the principle that you're proclaiming, the principles or the truths that you're proclaiming, that you can, Jesus did that. He would take simple words to articulate profound ideas.
Yep.
So you must be born again. I mean, how many volumes have been written on that? But a kid could understand, oh, okay, I got to have a new life. So you're striving to use simple words to communicate profound ideas. And another thing you're trying to do is use concrete words to communicate abstract ideas.
Yeah.
And then that way you're catching everybody.
Yeah.
And you're not losing as many people as you would if you tried to communicate an abstract idea using abstract language and all that type of thing.
Yeah, that's helpful. I think one of the things I'm always thinking of is like, okay, how high are the cookies on the shelf?
Right.
How many people got to reach for them? I don't mind getting people to reach and stretch out, right? But I don't want to be beyond their grasp. But if there's something that's like, oof, a good number of these people are going to have to stretch, then this is where the beauty of summary and analogy come in. Yeah. So you can just say—
I'm glad you're raising these. Go ahead.
In other words, and you just bottom shelf the thing.
Right,
and you make the complex simple, right? Or the abstract concrete. Or you can say analogy.
Yeah.
This is kind of like that.
Right.
And you go, oh, and you see it on people's faces where they go, what exactly is he talking about? Oh, yeah, that is just like when, you know, I was seven and wanted to borrow, you know, my brother's toy truck. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Especially when you're talking about some huge thing about God or whatever.
Yep.
So analogy will make it clear.
They get your principle.
Right.
When you show them the picture.
Right.
And it's kind of like kitchen table, like, okay, now, I see this. So analogy, I think, is critical.
Right.
Because otherwise we're just lost in, you know, rational thought.
Exactly.
With nothing to look at, walk around, touch, feel, sense.
Yep. And I think it actually works in two ways. So doing things like analogy or summary works in two ways. The first way it works is those for whom the concept, the text, the idea or whatever is very complicated, learn how to understand things like that by the analogy.
Yeah.
But it also works the other way, because you got a bunch of nerds in your church that can't string together three coherent sentences for normal human beings. And what you're teaching them to do is, first of all, think about the listener when they're speaking, but also, oh, this is how you make complex things clear. Yeah. So you're actually training people along the way,
right,
in both ways. You're getting people to stretch, but you're also getting people who can easily reach those cookies and go, oh, I can actually bring these down so that other people can understand them.
Very helpful.
All right. So now what about the other challenge? So we've talked about, how do you go deep without losing people? How do you go wide without just being boring, Ed?
So there are some common themes. Movies are based on the fact that there are some universal themes that all humans relate to, whether it be family or, you know, trust or betrayal, whatever. When people pitch a movie, they just basically, when they were pitching the movie The Godfather, well, it's about family, but it's, you know, in the context of this, that, and the other. So what you want to do in terms of trying to catch or to cast the widest net is to try to deal with universal types of themes that maybe the applications might come out a little bit different depending on where you are, but everybody can relate to this sort of common experience.
Yeah. Believer and unbeliever alike.
Believer or unbeliever alike.
Yep. Good. Dave?
Well, boring, right? That's the, how do you get wide without being boring? So I'm sure people have been bored who have been listening to my preaching.
I can testify to that statement personally.
Yes. But I'm not the only one.
Right.
I mean, Eutychus fell out of that
window. He did.
Right.
He fell asleep on Paul. Now, what would we give to go hear Paul, even though he was doing many words? So my first thing I want to say to the guys listening is, there are times where the people are in a frame of mind where they can't handle too much.
That's from true. You. That's true.
So length of sermon could actually affect how long I can stay with you. Yet we want to grow people's ability to listen longer.
Yeah.
I think the wide nature as opposed to boredom, I think you need to frame your argument in ways that would matter to your general audience. Because if they know, like, well, this matters, then their attention is going to be given to it.
Yeah.
It might be complex. It might be difficult. You might need to stay with me for the next 5 minutes. But if they sense that, no, this matters, there's going to be payoff, then it's not going to be boring, even though they have to work at it.
I think that's good. That's good.
Yeah, Ed, mine was pretty much the same as yours, where you're drilling down to, okay, this is what the text is saying, for example, but what's the thing underneath the thing?
Yeah.
Right? What's the universal basic principle? What's the moral of the story? What's the kind of gravitational pull of this thing that anybody can relate to? Not simply because we're trying to dumb things down, but we're just trying to make things clear.
Yeah.
And clarity kind of comes when it's like, okay, there's all these words, right? So many words. What is this talking about? And if you can bottom line the thing and ground it, then everybody goes, oh, okay. So this is about justice, or this is about love, or this is about hope, or whatever.
Exactly.
So, oh, okay. And then whatever the riffs are on that. Okay, so as we kind of wind this thing down, I think that one of the main ways that we struggle to speak broadly to the whole congregation is solved through, like, good application. But application could be a monster, right?
Yeah.
Because application could go off the rails. Like, so how have you thought about doing application well for the whole congregation without feeling the burden to speak every week to one-legged rodeo clowns and also to, you know, blind prosecutors and I've heard those sermons, right? We've all heard those sermons where it's like, now here's the 45 minutes of me trying to name every single kind of person in this congregation. So Ed, how do you think about applying broadly?
And this is a good question, because I've messed up royally recently, actually. I was at a church, one of our friends preaching a sermon I had preached before, but all the applications were for my congregation.
Right.
And I thought I'd edited it enough to deal with the for that congregation. Yeah. When I got up and was really in the moment, I recognized, man, 75% of my applications
aren't here.
aren't beneficial for this particular setting. So this is not a generic answer. This is an honest answer. You got to pray because even in my congregation, it's not necessarily the exact same people that show up every Sunday.
Yeah.
But God knows who is going to be there. And so as I prayerfully consider the applications to pin it down a little bit tighter, I'm looking for ways that, back to the whole universal thing, that regardless of what phase you are in life, that either you need this or you're going to need this application.
Yeah.
So that if I'm speaking to older adults, or if my application is mainly geared toward older adults, I might say, you're not there yet, but you need to understand that this is important. And, you know, when you get to be this age, so on and so forth.
Good.
Just using that as an example.
Dave?
So application, we talk about it, right, as adhesive, the thing that adheres one object to another. We're trying to apply the text to the mind or heart of the listener. So you want to hang something on the wall of your sermon that attracts the populace of your people.
Yeah.
So I'm at the lake house on vacation a week ago. Man, we had all these black flies. You couldn't keep up with them with a fly swatter until Lisa bought this kind of device that sticks this blue light adhesive on the wall. And I just went away. And you'd come back like 2 hours later. Oh, that thing caught six more flies.
Right.
And what am I saying? I'm saying apply the sermon in ways that will draw particular people to the general truth, as opposed to trying to just catch all of them.
Right.
And run around your house in your message and miss most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I train the students all the time in Chicago course. Just flip the coin. So if I've got an application, I'm always trying to think in that moment, who's hearing this application of encouragement and is discouraged as a result of some other people in this congregation being encouraged. So take back to your thing, Ed, about like married and single people. So let's say that on the basis of the text, I've got an application. I go, now, for those of you who are married, right? And I'll just go full on towards the married people to the point where I can sense that unmarried people are unhappy.
Right.
Then you turn it and go, just flip the coin and go, well, but what if I'm not married?
Yeah.
Right? And then make the application, not a completely different app. Well, for you, I've got another sermon. It's like, no, this thing that I'm saying here, how does that apply in that direction? Right? If it's Christians, non-Christians are like, what the heck? Or to non-Christians, and it's like, well, what does that have to do with Christians? Don't say something different.
Yeah.
Riff on the same thing you're saying for the sake of people who feel left out as a result of the application you just made.
That's beautiful. Great.
Turning the prism on the
That thing over and over and over again. And it'll start to hit everybody in the congregation. So let's be honest. Preaching to the whole congregation is challenging. It will never be easy. It's never been easy. And yet we can do some things to hopefully preach well to everybody that's in the room. So may God help us to do it well.
For more articles, books, and podcasts, please visit 9marks.org.